we hop into our Father's Day message here today, next Saturday, we are sending a team to Arizona, and we're sending six ladies down to Arizona to the Indian Bible College. We have a ministry partner there, her name is Martha Gushy, that through our missions budget we've been supporting for many years, and they're going to be going down to help with the construction of a library and some other things. At the end of the service, right after the announcement, you'll hear some more about that, but we want to commission them this weekend because they'll be leaving Saturday. And the thing we need to know as a church is that when we send teams out, they're going and we're being a part of that trip. We're being a part of that trip through our encouragement, through our prayers, through our financial support. So every time we send a team out from Christ Community Church, we need to know that we are all a part of that in one way or another. So as we gather as a congregation, we want to be praying for them. We'd also love for you to go to the Welcome Center on your way out and grab a bookmark. It has the names of who's going. And that is Heather Bullard, Sarah Coleman, Arlene Medeiros, Carol Mulcahy, Jen Sylvester, and Shannon Quinn. And their photo is up behind me. But we would love for you to be praying for the team. If you're on that team, if you could stand for me here this morning, any members of the team? There was a couple here last night, I know that. All right, well, their photo's up there, and be praying for them. But let's go to the Lord in prayer as we pray over the Arizona team and as we pray about the message as well, as we open up our hearts to God's word here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, God, to be in partnership, Lord, with these six women, Father. God, may you just use them in a mighty way, Father. God, we trust you for traveling protection and traveling mercies there and back. We pray, Father, for your protection over them physically and spiritually during this time. God, may they be a great encouragement as they go down to partner with what you're doing down in Arizona at the Indian Bible College, Lord. We're thankful for that ministry. May they be a real important part, Lord, of their week there. May it be encouragement to Martha Gushy as well. And God, we are expectant of the work that you will do through them and in them, Father. We pray for strong time together in fellowship and in service for them. And God, we're thankful for all the wonderful testimonies that you will bring to light as they return and share that, Lord. And we're thankful that we can be a part through financial gifts, through prayer, through encouragement as well. God, we lift up this time to you, Lord, as we reflect on your love for us and your pathway for us through Christ Jesus, as fathers, as mothers, as parents, as spiritual parents as well, God. Father, we pray that each person here, whether we're parents or not, would be touched by your word here today, Father, as we look at Ephesians. Lord, may we each hear a word from you as we dive into your scripture. God, we ask the Holy Spirit to do his work in interpreting scripture for us here today, and we open our hearts to you. May it pierce our hearts and change us to have a heart more like Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're taking a little break from the Beatitudes today. You probably realized that in your bulletin. We're having a special Father's Day message. But I do want to encourage you that whether you're a father or a mother, or whether you are not either one of those here today, I want to encourage you that we will be looking at God's love for us, and that our model as parents for the way we love our children is where we get it, is from the love of Christ and through God the Father. So we'll be looking at those different pieces. I started reflecting this week a little bit on all the privileges of being a dad, all the honors of being a dad, and the fun that we have as being a father, because there's a lot of fun. You know, being a dad, it gives us this opportunity to kind of embrace our inner child, right? We get to be all the things that we haven't been able to do all these years. We get to play all the silly games with our kids. They laugh at all my stupid jokes, even when they're not funny. They've developed what I call a courtesy laugh. They just laugh to make me feel good. And we have all these wonderful times together as a family. It's really good. I've also realized, too, the conveniences of being a dad are great, because as they get older, they start doing dishes and cutting the grass and all these things. It's really wonderful to have them. And when you're watching TV, you never have to get up to get yourself anything, because you always have a few people to go grab you a glass of water or whatnot. It's really got some privileges. But all kidding aside, we do know, and I don't think I have to convince you here this morning, that being a parent and being a Christ gospel-centered parent has its challenges, that we do face many difficulties in raising our kids in the way of the Lord, that are not only our cultural challenges, but our own sinful natures work against us quite often in raising our kids in the way of the Lord. And as we look at today's passage, we're going to see that Paul, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing a letter to the church in Ephesus, and he's talking about how they currently parent and showing them a new way in how Christ shows us a new way to parent. And I do want to encourage you that wherever you're at today and in your role as a parent, that everyone in the room has an opportunity to be a spiritual parent to someone. All of you here have this opportunity. And some of you, as I look around, you're youth leaders, and you're leading the youth, you're Sunday school teachers, you have a neighbor, a friend, a niece, a nephew. You have this opportunity to be a spiritual parent in your life. Growing up, my family, my father wasn't really around. He wasn't the spiritual dad I needed him to be. But through the grace of Christ Jesus, God put men in my life and women in my life who were spiritual parents to me. And they really invested in me, and I got to see this example of imperfect people following a perfect Savior, and I got to see that transformation in their life. So even though home life wasn't all that great, I did get to see a true follower of Christ Jesus in all these people, and they invested in my life. So wherever you're at today, I want you to apply the truths that we are speaking to the fact that you all have an opportunity to be a spiritual parent to someone if you're not a parent at this time. As we look at the church in Ephesus, though, we see that Paul writes to them, and I'd like to actually start in verse 1 today. We are in the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 6, and verse 4 is in your outline. We're actually going to read verses 1 through 4 as our text here today. If you're new to church or new to the Bible, there should be a blue book in front of you, and that is the ESV version of the Bible. If you want to get that out, Ephesians is about 3/4 of the way through the entire book. It's a book in the New Testament. But let's stand here this morning as we read this passage together. Someone want to tell me what time it is? All right. Just see if you guys are paying attention here this morning. So let's go ahead and read together. Children, amen. May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. So I was studying this passage. I started to look at that word, and the NIV, of course, says exasperated. Isn't that a fun word to say? Let's all say it together. Exasperated. Not a fun word to say, not one we often use in a sentence. Most of your translations, if you have a different one, will say provoked to anger. That's what it means. But I got a little challenge for you today. Try and use the word exasperated in a sentence a few times today, just randomly, okay? Maybe the guy you cut off in traffic, you can yell out to him, say, I didn't mean to exasperate you, sir. But you can give that a shot. You don't want to provoke people to anger. But that word exasperate is important because as we look at the church in Ephesus, as we look at the culture in Ephesus, we need to understand what the father's role was, what that looked like to really understand this text. You see, a father in Ephesus, he was actually the final law in his house. He wasn't just the king of his own castle. He was literally the final law, meaning that whatever he wanted to do with his kids, whatever rules he wanted to impose, he could do it. All the way to selling them if he wanted to. He could even, unfortunately, decide to punish them to the point of taking their life. How gruesome is that? But the truth is that Paul was writing now to believers in Ephesus who were under this culture, who were influenced by the culture that they were in. They had this way that they had learned to parent all these years. And he says, do not be too harsh on your children. Do not exasperate them. Do not provoke them to anger. Do not put a heavy yoke on them that drives them away from me. But here's a new way. And what he's talking about is that in that culture that they were in, that Christ came and changed all of that. Not only did he save them, he also transformed every area of their life. And we see in verses 1, it talks about husbands and wives, and then it talks about parents. So as we think about that here this morning, not only does he change the way they did things back then, but we're also under some cultural influences as parents here. In fact, we don't even realize how much we're influenced by the culture in how we parent. In fact, think about all the information that's out there that wasn't even there 30 years ago. And think about all the advice. If you Google parenting, you'll find page after page after page of blogs and articles and posts and books about being a parent, about how we should discipline our kids, about all the challenges of being a parent. In fact, if we just go back to 30 years ago or even 20 years ago, you know, just the financial struggles that are now present in relation to those times back then, it's four times as expensive to grow up as a kid now as it was even 20 or 30 years ago. The same education that we got will cost your children four to five times more at the same school just 20 years later. So as we think about just even that piece of it, we do face challenges. The other part, though, that we face is we also face how to parent. Every place you go, someone wants to tell us how to parent, what school they should go to, what food they should eat, what they should be when they grow up. But Christ is coming and saying, I have a different focus for you. In fact, what Christ is saying to us is that be sure that the grace you've received from me, that you also provide to your children. The grace and mercy, the truth and balance, the love of truth and grace, that balance there, that we need to provide that to our kids as well. So he's saying, hey, here's the way you learned how to be a parent, and here's the way society would tell you how to be a parent, but wait. Instead of those ways, here's another way. And as we go on in our verse here, it says, instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Let's pause there for a minute. So he's saying, hey, we know this way. We can all sit and agree. We could talk the rest of the time today about all the things in our culture that are kind of contrary to the way that we would like to raise our kids up, to the contrary to what we know Scripture would tell us to bring the kids up. But he's saying, so here's this list of ways to do it. Here's the focus of the society, but instead, let's follow this way. And he says, bring them up. Some of your translations say, raise them up. One thing I've been considering as I've been a parent now for 16 years, and we've had all these different seasons of life as my kids are 16, 14, and 12, I'm kind of in the throes of it for those of you that are past that, right? Would you agree? I'm heading into the teenage years. They tell me these can often be rocky times, but so far so good. We'll keep praying it through. But as we think about that, I often think of the fact that we most times focus on raising good kids as opposed to what Christ wants, and that's raising spiritually mature adults. Think about that for a minute. Because as we raise children, whether we're a spiritual parent or not, we really are looking to their behavior quite often. We want them to obey the rules. We want them to keep their room clean. We want them to be good friends and good neighbors. We want them to get good grades. We want them to take care of all the things in life that we've given them a list to do. And our hope is that they'll grow up and get a good job. You see, we focus on what they'll do more often than who they'll be. And when we consider that, God is saying, and the passage here is saying, here's another way. Let's not focus so much on what they do or don't do, but let's focus on who they will become as they grow into mature adults. Will they become mature followers of me? But what is our focus as parents in their life as we're raising them up? Are we raising them up in the Lord, or are we focused on what they'll do or what they do now? Consider that for a moment. Now, that's important. We want to give our kids a better life than we had. I think everyone in the room would agree that we'd like our children to have a better life than we had growing up. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And I think that our parents wanted us to have a better life than they had. Not a bad thing. But the truth is that Christ comes with the gospel, and we used to be focused on all the things we do. But he came and said, it's not about what you do or what you did. It's about what I do. You see, we see the gospel in our parenting, don't we? That yes, we want our children to honor us by obeying the rules, and we know what's best for them, so we want them to follow those things. But our focus needs to not just be on raising good kids. It needs to be focused on raising spiritually mature followers of Christ Jesus. That's our ultimate goal. Whether they end up being doctors or police officers or construction workers or whatever the case may be, that's all good. But whatever they do within that, we want them to be mature followers of Christ Jesus. That is our goal and our focus, and that's really the goal and focus of this passage as well, is that we need to bring the gospel into all areas of our life to say not only did he transform us in a way to save us, but he's bringing transformation even in how we parent. As we consider this, it says to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, here's the funny thing. If you look at the root words of the word training and instruction, it means discipline and correction. Now, if we go on and start, look at some good debates, boy, you can find some great debates, some of these forums about how we should be disciplining our kids. The advice that you can find in this world on how we should discipline our kids is vast. And here's the thing. God tells us that he disciplines those he loves. That the discipline that we feel from God as followers of Christ Jesus, that's that conviction from the Holy Spirit. That's that correction in our life that says the Holy Spirit is our guide, and Scripture shows us the way that when we're outside of the will of God, when we're in sin, we're convicted by those things. That's that discipline that we feel. But it also means that we need to be disciplined, meaning that we need to be disciplined in our way of life, that we need to be intentional about it, that we need to be focused on raising up our children in the Lord as well as we're focused on ourselves being raised up in the Lord. That's that discipline piece that we're talking about. And that next piece is correction. Again, not a good word in our culture, not a good word in our language, but the truth is when we look at correction, what Christ is talking about here, what the book is talking about here, is that we are to correct our way of thinking. How easy is it to conform to the patterns of this world? Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We, just by saturation, if we're not intentional about how we live our own life for Christ, if we're not intentional about what we do in our marriages, in our relationships, in our workplaces, and in raising children, if we're not intentional about it, we, just by saturation of our culture that we're in, will end up conforming to the patterns of this world. But what Christ is saying is to be transformed. When we bring it back to the Word of God, when the Word of God is our guide, when we're intentional about it, we begin to be transformed. We find this new way of how God would want it. And as parents, that's what we're called to do. We're called to help our children, our kids, whether they're young or old, to begin to think in a Christ-like manner, to begin to think for themselves. And discipline is important, correction is important, but the most important part of that is that we bring them back to the Word of God and we show them the why behind the what. You see, often in our walk with Christ Jesus, if all we ever think about is what to do and we miss the why we should do it, we've missed the gospel. Because the reason we want to be obedient and follow what God calls us to do is because of what he did. Because of his great love for us. God the Father loved us so much, and he loves us so much, that we want to live a life that's honoring and pleasing to him. In fact, all the rules that he gives us in the Bible, because we often look at them as that way, but all the commands that he gives us in the Bible, if you boil them down, they're all for our benefit. They're all for our transformation process, and they are all motivated by God's love. So as we guide our kids, as we grow them and give them instruction, it's important that that comes from a place, a motivation of love in their life, and that we give them the why behind the what. You see, we can provoke our kids to anger as well if we put a yoke of unnecessary rules in their life. We all need some rules. My kids will tell you, we got some rules in our house. But we need to have that place of letting them understand the why. We need to be having those conversations with them. Because our focus is to raise spiritually mature adults, not just well-behaved kids. There's a couple of ways that we've applied this in our household. And the first one is that we really want our kids to make a decision one way or the other for Christ Jesus on their own. We don't want them to have a cultural Christianity. We don't want them to have a family Christianity. In fact, we often tell them that when they get to heaven, they can't say to God, well, my dad was a pastor and my parents were Christians and we went to church every week, because that's not going to suffice Because we know, all of us here that have accepted Christ Jesus, we know that it's about making that profession of faith in what Christ has done on the cross for them. So our first thing is that we want to help them to develop their own faith. We want to give them space to argue and wrestle with the things of God and have open conversations about that, even parts that we don't agree about. And we want to open up that conversation and give them space to have that with us. Now, the other thing that we want to do is we want to model that faith for them as well. We want to be intentional and consistent in that life with them, meaning that we're not perfect. I'll share about my imperfections here in a second as a dad for sure. We're not perfect, but we're consistent, meaning that we're consistently in the Word of God as a family. We're consistently as parents in the Word of God. We consistently pray. Is that every day? It is absolutely not, but it's consistent. It also means that when we're facing things in life, big or small, that we follow the Word of God and how God would want us to make those choices. We never leave God out of a decision as a family or as individuals or as a couple, and we want to model that for our children. But one thing about their faith is, and one thing I remember telling Christian a couple of times, I said, listen, when you grow up, our real concern is that you're following Christ. That's our real concern. Whether or not you go to our church, if I'm a pastor at a church and you don't like that church, that's fine. You can go somewhere else. There won't be any hard feelings. Because what our real goal is that they'll own their own faith and they'll follow Christ under their own willpower, because they have to want it for themselves, or all they've done is lived our faith just to make us happy, as opposed to surrendering their life to Christ Jesus. As we think about that instruction, the next piece is we try and allow them to fail. We give them room to fail as we guide them in life. Now, a lot of times we have this expectation in life that you know, we want our kids to never make a mistake. That's probably our heart, right? We might even keep a tally sheet, a scoreboard, if you will, of how many mistakes our kids make, and we might rate ourselves as parents that way. We have to remember that they're sinful, fallen humans like we are. They're going to make mistakes. Think about Jesus for a minute. He comes to earth. He makes that great sacrifice to come down from heaven, to consider himself nothing. He comes and lives with us on earth and teaches and preaches. He guides these disciples. He teaches them all these things, not only verbally, but then he models it, right? And that's something we need to remember is that as parents, our kids, more is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. But what did he do then? He took those disciples. If you go to Luke chapter 10, if you write that down, you can go and see an example of this. He sends out 72 disciples. After he spent time training them and teaching them, what does he do? He trusts them. He's not out there controlling them. He sends them out on their own. In fact, he sends them out two by two. Get it? What does he say in that chapter? He says that I am sending you like lambs to the slaughter. Those are comforting words. They should send you out to the world, right? Sending you as lambs to the slaughter. That's what he says. He sent them out. He knew they were going to fail and they were going to have trials. And he gave them instructions that if this doesn't work, then to do this. But then they come back and they debrief, and he continues to teach them. But he gave them an opportunity to fail. You see, if he stayed over them the whole time and did everything for them, they would have never learned how to do it for themselves. Now, would they have? So the thing that we have with our children that so far has been working, we'll see how it continues to work out. But we want them to have that freedom to fail. And what we tell them is that we do expect you to make mistakes. You know fully what God wants for your life at this point. You know fully what we want for your life at this point. Now it's up to you to make the right decisions. We've equipped you to make good decisions that are honoring to God and healthy for you. If you make a wrong decision, though, we want you to tell us about it. We have a thing in our house that it's always better to come out than to be found out. We'd much appreciate them to just come to us and say, hey, I did this, and have us talk about it, because every moment is a learning moment when we're walking with Christ Jesus. You see, God teaches us so much when we fail, doesn't he? He teaches about his great grace. He teaches us about our frailties. He shows us a better way when we come to him in repentance and confess our sins to him and seek him for guidance. So when we do that, we give them the opportunity to fail. We allow them to come out with it. And if they're found out, obviously it's a little different. Now, if they continue on in those type of situations, then obviously we need to go to that next step, and then discipline applies. But just one thought of how Christ works with us and how we work within that. As we think about this is that what we also share with them is what God shares with us. Regardless of how it turns out, we're still going to love them. If they decide that they're not going to follow God in their life, that they've decided that, following Christ is not for them, we'll be heartbroken, just as you would be heartbroken. Maybe you are heartbroken. But the truth is that God loves us. His word says he loves us while we're sinners and even after we come to Christ. He loves us either way. He doesn't always agree with our behavior. That's something that we need to know. We certainly will say, yeah, we're disappointed. We don't agree with your behavior, but we're going to love you either way. And that's important. Whether they follow the Lord or not, whether they make mistakes or not, we're going to love them no matter what. Because they already know where we stand with those things. So that part is really, really key. As we look about this instruction too, is that it's easy for us to fall into a place where we end up being helicopter parents. Now, some of you in the room, you might actually fit that description. I know my temptation is to control everything. I want to be there. And I know Wendy and I talk about this all the time. It would be great for us to just be able to control and keep our kids in a bubble. And we end up being helicopter parents. And that's an easy place to go because, think about it, we want to control things. Just like we want to control everything in our own life. But the truth is that it's always better to trust than to control. We can control the environment best we can, but when we give them trust, what does that do? It builds value in who they are. And they realize that they can do it on their own. They realize that we value them and we trust them, and it builds them up as individuals. It builds them up in their maturity. And obviously, we give trust at the appropriate ages and the appropriate places. But if we never give them any trust to do it on their own, how will they do it on their own when they grow up and move out? So as we think about that, I like to think about the fact that we're not helicopter parents. What we are is we're flight instructors. You know, they watch us fly the plane, we give them instruction for a little bit, we let them take the helm for a little while, and then eventually they're flying the plane by themselves. Kind of like the process I've just been through with Hannah. She just got her license on Friday, 16 and a half. And we're so proud of Hannah, and she's doing well, but she's driving now, right? But we had all those times. She had all her driver's ed and her classroom time, and she learned all the rules. She knows them better than I do because none of us pay attention to them after driver's ed. In fact, on the way home from the driving test, I go, now I'm going to teach you how to really drive in Massachusetts. Well, you know, you got to, certain things you got to know, right? So anyways, but she learned all of that. We had all that time riding with her, and last night she drove her car all by herself home from the shop for the first time. And now we're going to have to trust. It's a little nervous. There's a lot of crazy drivers who text and drive and talk and eat and do all those things while they're driving, and we get nervous about that, right? So we have to trust, though. We got to trust the Lord in all things. We got to trust the training that she has, and we're going to trust the character that Christ is building in Hannah to make the right decisions. And guess what? She's probably going to hit something. She may get pulled over, may make a mistake. We get it. But guess what? We're going to talk through it and figure out how we can do better next time. Isn't that how Christ works in our life? It is. You see, though, these are hard things. These are hard things to do. Following Christ Jesus takes work. It's hard. But it's important. Think about the work that Christ did. It was hard. He decided to leave his place at the right hand of God, and not considering equality with God something to be grasped, but he came to earth, he humbled himself to the place of a servant, and humbled himself even to the place of death, death on a cross. Why? Why? Because he came to be a ransom for our life. He came to serve us so that we, through his great sacrifice, can be in his kingdom. And in addition to that, that our life, through the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit, that we can be transformed. That's the gospel. And as we grow in Christ Jesus, we're doing hard things in our own life to grow. We have to wrestle with difficult things in our life. We have to make choices that are towards the Lord and put off our old self. That's hard. Those are hard choices to make. We have to be disciplined in following Christ, don't we? And we have to be the same thing in raising children, whether we're spiritual parents or otherwise. We need to consider that. We have to do hard things. And that's a main point today, is that being a dad is hard, and dads, you are doing hard things, but the main point is dad, do hard things. Dads, do hard things. But I continue on to that, is that moms, do hard things. Continue that hard work that you're putting in. You know, it's like digging a hole. We got to dig a little deeper, but continue to do hard things. Those hard things, they pay off in the end. Now, there's no guarantees how our kids are going to turn out, but we have to do everything in our power to invest what God's given us into their lives. We have to be intentional about where we're going. When we talk about doing hard things, we have to consider moms and dads and spiritual parents. That means that we make those sacrifices in our life. It means that we dig deep and we say, you know what, I have to sacrifice this area of my life, these needs and wants, just like Christ did on the cross, so that I can invest in my children and their time that they have. We need to consider that. But it also means that we have tough conversations. Something we do with our kids is we do talk about some hard things. Not only do we talk about the Word of God and how it applies to life, we talk about all the things that they're going to face. We've homeschooled them up to high school, and now they're going to public school. So like Luke 10, we're sending them out, right? And now whatever your education choices are for your kids, that's different for every family. Homeschool, private school, public school, that's all good. But the truth is that we're to prepare them as parents from home so when they go out into the world, they know how to operate. And we dig in, and we need to have those hard conversations. Dads, moms, spiritual parents, do the hard things. We have to be talking about faith. We have to be talking about relationships. We have to be talking about dating. We need to be talking about sex. We have to talk about pornography with them. It's all over the place. We have to talk about alcohol and drug addiction. We have to talk to them about the motives and intentions of other people that might be interested in them, okay? Because they might not be what they think. But we have to go through and have these hard conversations. Guess what? I'd rather never talk about any of those things. Maybe the faith part, but all the other ones I'd prefer to not talk about, okay? It's uncomfortable and awkward most often. It's true, though, but we have to dig deep and do the hard things. If we don't prepare them by having these proper conversations and doing the hard things, who else will? The saturation of society, our culture, will develop them. I'd rather have those conversations with them. Here's one thing. We need to do the hard things. I was thinking about a couple weeks ago, I want to illustrate it for you this way, and thinking about our walk with Christ Jesus, to thinking about being married, being in relationships with people, church life, our personal life, and being a parent, I really thought that in a lot of ways it really fit all of that. A couple of weeks ago, I went outside, did a little spring cleaning, and I have this old Beverly Hillbillies looking utility trailer that I bought on Craigslist for a couple $100. It just sits out back in like this little wooded section of my yard. And all winter, I've been throwing stuff in that trailer. I have a dump sticker, so I thought, oh, in the spring, I'll get it out and haul it to the dump. So there's all kinds of boxes and metal and an old basketball hoop and stuff, but there was also a couple of bags. We went and bought those yellow bags you need in Middleboro to bring some household trash down there. So I had two bags of household trash out there from, like, Christmas until May. Yeah, you know where this is going. So it was out in the woods. It was just this mess. It was all the trash from our house. It was all that stuff that won't fit in the bins, sitting out back in the woods in that hidden place in our yard. It's just sitting there. The animals got to it and ripped the bags open, so they began to fill with water. Have you ever smelt food trash after it's been in the heat and wet for a number of months? Have you ever smelt that? It'll make you pass out. I mean, it's bad. It's really bad. So I had Christian come out and help me, and he, like, as soon as he walked out the door, he could smell it. He's like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Well, a lot of it had spilt out on the ground. So when he comes out, I'm out picking up slop with my bare hands, and it's bad. I mean, I'm going to pass out myself. And I didn't have gloves on. I'm just cleaning it up and putting it back in, and he walks by, and he's like, he's got his face covered, and he's probably about 100 yards away. And he goes, Dad, you're, like, fearless. I go, well, I felt real macho for a moment. I'm like, yeah. But the truth is that we have to be willing to do the hard things. You know, I said, well, it wasn't going to clean itself up, and it stinks. It's stinking up the backyard, and no one else is going to do it. Someone had to do it, so I'm going to come out, and that's my role as a dad, is to do the hard things. I'm going to clean up this muck, and right now you're going to watch, but you'll have an opportunity to do it in the future, won't you? So we loaded up the trailer, and we took all the stink, all the junk, all the trash in our life, and we brought it down to the dump and left it where it should be, right? So the stink is gone. We came back. But I began to start thinking about our own personal lives for a minute. You know, all of us have a trailer out back in the woods we forgot about, and it's full of this trash, and it stinks. It's nasty, okay? Make you pass out if you think about it too much. But we all have that in our life, don't we? But what did Jesus do? Jesus came down, he died on the cross, he literally took all that stink of our life and he carried it away and he put it in the dump to where it's never to be seen again. We need to grab hold of that fact, but dads and moms and spiritual parents, that's our job. We got to do the hard things. We got to call it what it is in our life. We have to take the things that we know are wrong and the things that are unpleasing to God. We got to be willing to get our hands dirty the way Christ did for us, pick that stink up, put it in the trailer, and get it to the dump for good. But it starts with me not procrastinating until May to do it. I need to do it sooner, okay? I need to get out there and do these things. I need to take ownership of why the stink is there, and on this case, it was me, okay, because I was slow to do all of that. But the truth is that we need to grab hold of these things and do the hard things, and it's worth it, because we're not only making investments in our own life and our kids' life, but we're making investments in the kingdom. We're making investments in the kingdom. Dads, moms, do the hard things. Lastly, I want to leave you with this. Have fun. Man, life is stressful, and as we're doing these hard things, remember to have fun. I get stressed out sometimes, and I forget to just enjoy the moment and have fun. You start looking through pictures of your kids, man, they grow up like wicked fast. They just grow up so fast, do they not? But we have to enjoy these moments. We have to look back on them. I didn't know that was coming. Nice job, Steve. Yeah, that's a big Pooh Bear. Either way, but we need to have fun. We need to enjoy. So as we're digging deep, we can find enjoyment in it, because this is a season that doesn't last a lifetime. We need to make that investment, and obviously we can continue on a relationship with them. But here's the way I like to look at it, and this is how I want to live my life, is I take Jesus seriously, super seriously. The rest of my life, I don't take that seriously, because I think that we need to take Jesus seriously, but not ourselves. We need to have fun. We need to enjoy this time that we're having in life with our kids, whether they're adult kids or young kids. Dads, moms, we have to dig deep. We have to do the hard things in life. And all of us in this room are considering the hard things we need to do, whether we need to clean out the stinky trash in our backyard or we need to invest further into the relationship with our kids. But last but not least, remember the fact that we're not just trying to raise good kids. We're not just trying to raise kids that'll do something cool when they get out of college. What we're focused on as followers of Christ is to raise mature followers of Christ Jesus. We need to be focused on who they will become and not what they will do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we, for this time, God, you are so good to us, so good to us. And God, I believe that I often take it for granted how much you love us, Lord. God, I want to first thank you for correcting me, for disciplining me, grace and mercy that you give us through Christ Jesus. God, we pray over each person here now, Lord, wherever each of us are at in our relationship with you and our role as a parent, whether we're a father, a mother, a grandparent, a spiritual parent, a foster parent, a stepdad, stepmom, whatever the case may be, Lord, I pray, Father, you'd meet each person where they're at today, God. Lord, may we continually focus on what you've done and the way that you transform us, God. Lord, we thank you that you've given us this great opportunity to not fall into the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the power of the gospel. God, we thank you and praise you, Lord. We thank you for the hard work that the dads do. We thank you for the men that are here in the room that are doing the hard things, God. May they continue to be encouraged and empowered to dig deep and do the hard things consistently and continually. And Lord, we pray for moms and all the other classes of parents that are here. God, continue to empower us and encourage us and motivate us to do the hard things. And Lord, we want to pray for those who may have not entered into their relationship with you. May they grab hold of the hard thing that you did of dying on the cross for their sins. May they grab hold of that relationship with you, that regardless of where they're at in their relationship, Father, with anyone else here, God, that they would know that what's most important is their relationship with you. That you, God, love us so much. You give us this opportunity to be in a parent and child relationship with you, the creator of the heavens and the earth, through the power of what Christ Jesus did on the cross. And if that's you today, just reach out to God. Ask for forgiveness of your sins and proclaim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Jim's going to come now. We're going to spend some time celebrating all the dads here today.